ahead and get started tonight for the Berlin Utility Fund Budget Work Session, and we're also going to be including the presentation of the police budget, which is part of the general fund. So with Natalie, I think you're going to give us an overview to start.
Good evening, everybody. We're going to let the police department go first since they were not part of the general fund session the Monday before, and then we're going to go to enterprise funds. And the police department just have the expenses for the actual departments, no revenues right now. We'll be discussing.
Okay, but that'll be coming.
Arnold is going to be helping me to review his budget.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And just let me go over the housekeeping a little bit. You'll find a bunch of stapled pages. They go in order as we go. So the police department will be up front, and if you look in the left top corner, right under the logo, that's where it's marked which fund and department is. So if you will see general fund, police department, and the next staple will say electric, and the next staple. But I will guide you through that.
Okay.
And then the separate pages here, just for the enterprise funds, they look vertical, not horizontal. Those are all the capital items for enterprise funds only. So we kind of situated us. I know it's a lot of paper, I'm sorry, but all the funds, all departments together. Police department capital outlay items are in the report itself. It's kind of starting on page one and continuing to page two, but we will go over them line by line. So overall, the police department numbers, they will be visible for the totals are on page 204. The department total for the police for fiscal 19, as the department had requested, is $2,012,365. We see that number. It's a decrease of $1.4 million, but because of the police station is finished, so the majority of it is a capital outlay item. So, Arnold, if you would like to take over and just go through your details, and then we do the capital together, or whichever way you want.
We had wished to go ahead and have additional on the salary line. We were actually looking for administrative assistant position, and that is not included in this, but I wanted to go ahead and note that. In 2000, we actually had that position in the police department. It was actually the first administrative assistant, and with that, I was advised to go ahead and put the justifications for that position, and that was forwarded also. But I am the only full-service police chief that does not have administrative assistant. So we were actually up there, again, for the last 6 years up there looking forward to additional manpower. That is, again, something that has not been put on the table. We were actually at 16 in 2011. Now we're currently at 14. And the belief was that if I had the opportunity to go ahead and add administrative assistant, I would have been able to go ahead and shift some of that administrative work and put some of those guys that are actually doing some of that work back on the road. So
now you're talking about personnel, you're talking about the sworn officers.
We're talking about salary line, and we're talking about personnel, correct?
But I'm talking about, I do discriminate in terms of budgeting between what I call the sworn officers, the law enforcement officers, and your dispatchers and other support personnel.
That is correct. We actually, there again, since 2011, have actually asked for more manpower. Again, that's the statement. And the second statement, this year I actually asked for and put a proposal in for administrative assistant.
Now, go ahead.
All I'm asking, is I have the salary thing, but I just want to hear from you, because that way I know it's not an interpretation. How many sworn personnel are you have currently and are proposing a budget for next year? And how many administrative personnel?
We're advised no additional positions. We have their head 14, and 14 is inside the budget. No additional and anywhere in the budget.
All right. But then you're also talking about that there's no additional personnel, but then you're also saying that you wished to request an administrative assistant, so that would be an additional administrative person.
It would be if it was in the budget, yes.
Okay. It's not here.
Yeah, okay. I know. Yes. All right. If it's not here, it's not here.
Well, again, we requested it to be here.
Okay.
We put $45,000. It was actually inside of the first line of the actual budget. The numbers came back, and those numbers were changed. I stood on the table a little bit and said, why did the numbers go ahead and change, especially without me having any idea or notice, and that's where we were.
Can I ask why the position was denied? Does anybody know?
Yeah, so the process we have is a written justification needs to come from the department directors, and so the initial budget numbers did not include any justification. So what happened was they were submitted without any justification or request for additional position, and so that information was removed. I did receive a justification from the police chief. It did not include some of the information I had requested. From my perspective, the primary argument the chief is giving me is that every other department has administrative support, and to me that's not enough of a compelling argument to add a position. What I had suggested to him is that he identify the workload that justifies the need for the additional position, and I didn't get that in the justification. Also, I think that there are other administrative-related personnel or positions in the department that could bear the weight of the work that he's identified, and that was not included in the justification.
That's what goes to my question is, how many people who are not sworn officers, because I don't know off the top of my head how many dispatchers and other administrative personnel, I realize they have one primary job. And how many of them
Four full-time dispatchers, three part-time, one records clerk.
Three part-time?
Correct.
And one what?
Records clerk.
One records
clerk. That's in the four.
So that's five full-time and three part-time.
Correct.
In admin.
Okay. All right. Let me just ask you this, because obviously there's a difference of opinion as to need.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered, or are you willing to consider, because I know some of these dispatchers, some of them are very experienced, whether they're full-time or part-time, and others are more new. That's good. It's a nice balance. Have you considered how these duties that you've identified that need to be have further support, can we not make use of some of these already dedicated and known people who could maybe make their income somewhat more secure?
Again, right now we actually utilize the tasks that we have, sworn personnel, and again, we're not talking about someone answering the phone for me. So, Pocomoke actually is similar in structure. They actually have three civilian staff that are not dispatchers. So when we actually talk about grants, we're talking about mandated paperwork, we're talking about reporting training records, firearm records. We're actually talking about a person sitting down doing those tasks. The last person, other than myself, that even assisted in doing that was an officer doing those tasks. The statement is, we end up having officers doing some of those tasks, and again, if we go ahead and have a non-sworn person doing that, I can get them on the road a little bit more. Again, the duties themselves, if dispatchers were administrative assistants, most of them probably wouldn't be working here. They'll be administrative assistants making money somewhere else. So, again, when we look at the job descriptions themselves, which weren't written by me, they were written by when this position was created, and we look over at Kelsey, that is actually the position. Kelsey's position belonged to the police department, and somebody in their infinite wisdom believed that administrative assistant was needed for the police department on a part-time basis at that time, year 2000. Coming back, making the statement that now we have more mandated reporting every year by the Governor's Office of Crime, Control, and Prevention, we're talking about Maryland Training Commission, all those different entities, then we have other paperwork that have deadlines and that are required by law.
Have you missed any of your deadlines due to the workload?
We have gone past deadlines, correct. I have, because again, the paperwork is my responsibility. We have went ahead and submitted paperwork on the day it's due. And what I have to do is I have to go ahead and prioritize what I'm doing to go ahead and make sure the paperwork is actually getting in. Firearms reports actually have to be in on the 30th, or if they're not in, then you have to yank guns. So December the 30th, if I'm sending in, you know, firearms records that actually were done throughout the year, if you have a person that's segregated that could do that, they could do it as the paperwork comes in.
I think what I'm hearing is that the idea that none of your dispatchers have the wherewithal or capability of helping with any of this.
No, what I'm saying is that they actually have a job already, and they have a full-time job that has a basket that's full of eggs. So my statement is...
You said there's four full-time, three part-time, and one records clerk. And is the records clerk full-time also?
Don't count your fingers. We have a part-time person that actually is from Maryland State Police, and out of a month's time, they work 3 days. We actually have another one that works at Central, 911. And that individual only can work so many days. Neither one of those individuals are going to be able to go ahead and come in and actually have to do the task. The other one has a full-time job working for the Board of Education. Therefore, she cannot go ahead and come in and work any of the daytimes when I'm actually there with the work.
So tell me, it seems like you're sitting here describing what this administrative assistant's duties would be. Have you provided Laura with that information?
I provided Jeff and Laura. The first question from Jeff was, do you have a job description? Mm-hmm. I said, the job description was already created, and it has the list of all the duties.
Could we get a copy of what you have provided to Laura? Because I'm sitting here, and I'm not able to follow this spoken word when it comes to duties and responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. But if I could see it in writing, and if I could be able to weigh what your recommendation is, we might be able to make a decision on your request. And this is a budget session where we talk about this kind of stuff. So provide us with the background. Provide us with your recommendation. And I hope that recommendation includes a figure for salary.
It does.
Okay. I would also like to see Laura's analysis of where it needs to meet a threshold, because I stand by your decision. If it's not justified, then we don't need the position. But
I won't have an analysis for you because I don't have the workload information from the chief, so I'd ask him to provide that as well.
I need the workload information.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to draw a comparison to other communities and what other communities provide as an example, but I would ask the council to keep in mind what the workload comparisons are, what the calls for service are, what the caseload is, and compare that to what Berlin is carrying before you make a decision. I think there are some options if you're open to making some adjustments to the work that other folks do in the department. I think there are some other options besides adding a position. It's hard for me to assess that in the absence of that kind of workload data.
And I would go ahead and say, again, when you actually talk about calls of service and those sort of things, we're actually talking about a person that's assisting me. So when we go ahead and actually have a look, and again, I have what the list of duties, and the question is, what would that individual be doing? That is listed. That was the information that was asked, and again, it was provided in 4 days, and I was actually in training, and there it was. No other information other than that was actually requested.
I'd have to disagree with you, Arnold.
Again,
I was very specific about workload with regard to the other cities that you use as an example.
Well, again, we didn't have any discussion with other entities, and again, Ocean City, all those others. I made a statement. And I understand the response that you can't go ahead and say everybody else has one, therefore you get one. That wasn't the statement. And that, again, if it was said that way or interpreted that way, okay. Right now, myself, the question is, what does the chief of police do and what does he need assistance with? That's the question. I'm the only police.
That's the information you have on those papers.
Correct.
Right? That's what I need to see.
We all want to be equally important.
That's what I need to see. And I'm not... Of course, we can't do this thing in a vacuum, but what Pocomoke got is what Pocomoke needs. What Snow Hill has is what Snow Hill needs. I'm interested in what and the assessment of what Berlin needs. So and I can't make that assessment unless I have the documents before me. So further discussion of this topic would be actually non-fruitful because we could do nothing about it now. So give us the writing and let us digest it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and we have additional questions, and we'll just ask you to come back and talk to it. But yeah, I think we need a, what I call a baseline of information so we all got the same place to start from.
Sounds okay. Perfect.
We can ask her different questions and all that.
Okay. That work?
Sounds perfect.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
What's next?
So I guess we just move on to line items that have a significant change between what have been budgeted for fiscal 18 and what is requested by the police department for fiscal 19. The personnel items, all that has a little bit of increase in the salaries, as mentioned prior in the general fund, we have budgeted a 3% increase, and also I think Mr. Mayor would like to chime in, or Laura. There is a one-time pay.
Yeah, because it just slipped my mind. The last work session, which was exceedingly tedious, more than usual, and something I'd like to recommend for the council's consideration is that we've been trying to figure out what would be the given that I think I agree, and certainly Laura's made it her budget. Recommendation of the 3% salary increase across the board. What I'd like to recommend instead of the $500 that we awarded the last, at least two or three years, maybe more, of the one-time annual payment, $500, I'd like to recommend that be $750. And the reasoning is that our frontline employees will get a greater benefit from that because it's the percentages. Obviously, the more money you already make, the more you get with a salary increase. But the one-time payment that we give in November prior to the holidays, that $250 will impact more of our employees who are not all department heads. And it'll be around $12,000?
It's under retention account, and you see the breakdown per personnel item. So if you look down, like half down the page, it says under retention one-time pay at 22 employees at 841. So 841 is a total amount, but the employee will receive a 750 as appreciation one time during the Thanksgiving.
And retention, so it's...
It's page one of the police department, halfway down the page in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So under retention.
One time pay.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, so all I'm asking is, how much, if you know...
541 was per employee. 541 per employee?
Yeah, all I'm saying. I'm talking about the total.
Overall total.
The total amount, how much was it last year when we gave out $500? And how much would it be if we give $750 as a total?
For police department only or
everybody?
Everybody. I don't have that number. I'm sorry, Jeff. Do you have that number?
I'm calculating it.
He's calculating. All right, I'm calculating.
It's just to put it in perspective, because I think my suggestion and recommendation is I'd like to make sure, because all of our employees are important. There's no unimportant employees. But I'm also thinking with all that's going on and we can't do everything we'd like in salary increases every year, but if we adjust the one-time payment for this year and see where we are again next year, we can make it year to year. I just think that more money will end up in the pockets of all employees that way.
Ironically, at less cost
to the town.
Jeff, okay, and last year, and when we done the 500, when it's grossed up to 541, the gross amount is $36,247.
That's for the whole town.
That's for all the employees.
Mm-hmm.
With the proposed 841 gross up with a 750 payout to the employee, the amount is $56,347.
And
that leaves a delta of
50%, which makes sense, because we're going 50% more.
It's about $20,000.
It's a $20,000 increase, right?
Jeff, did we offer a deferred comp match?
No.
I would rather see this in a form of a deferred comp match than a one-time payment. I think that offering a program that would incentivize our employees and help them later on in life when they retire is more of a benefit than a single one-time payment of an additional $250.
Can I just ask Jeff a question?
I'm asking a question.
I mean, are you mandating that they do this, or are you asking that they do this in lieu of one or the other?
My first question was, do we do it? And the second question was my thought as to whether we should structure this in a form of a deferred comp.
And let me just ask Jeff a question about that as a follow-up. How many employees participate? Do we have a wide group, or is it kind of a smallish number?
Including the council, that puts us at 72 employees, so... I'm counting here because I just did it just before I came up here. 19, 20 employees participate with 457 as it is today.
And that's the deferred comp account,
right? That's the deferred comp account.
Right?
I absolutely agree with Council Member Tindall, but I also respectfully disagree because the a third of our employees, what their annual compensation, their hourly rate is. I mean, if you look at what little they are putting into the deferred comp, I mean, it's a little's better than nothing. But I also, I can't speak for you all, nor can I speak for the other employees. But my best guess would be that these employees from 4 years ago when we did the $500 that one time, you don't know the reaction. I do. I gave the checks out, and it was... I'm not going to say they've become dependent on it, but I can tell you they really look forward to it because, again, when you take that employee who's making $13, $14 an hour and you give them a 1%, 2% increase, I mean, that's an increase. Don't take me wrong, but when you, and they're talking, you know, $7, $8 a paycheck, and that's a plus. But on the flip side, when you give them a $500 check, cash money, at Christmas time, that employee can go buy something that's tangible. And in Council Member Tindall's concerns, I agree with you 100%. We as an organization should think about the retirement, the post years, if you will, of our employees. But on the flip side, what we're doing with our employees currently, and it's mandated for all full-time employees, 7% of their income is gone to the Maryland State Retirement Agency. So that's not a... not going to lead you to, you know, to move to California and build a great big mansion. But with that and with our Social Security, it puts an employee in a fairly comfortable situation.
In order to do a match, can you give it as, say I wanted to open up a 457 and the town wanted to start me every year with the $250, could that be done without a match?
I don't understand.
Like, a match is a dollar for dollar.
Could be.
But... could we come in and say, if you open up the account, we'll put $250 in this year, and if we continue the $750 next year, we'll do the same thing?
I think we'd have to look at that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm just not sure because I don't. My gut is telling me that the vehicle's not designed for tax purposes to accommodate that, but that's really something we'd have to ask. Mm-hmm. Atlantic Smith Prep or Dealey or Dealey Insurance, whatever their new name is.
Because... I see what you're saying about $750. It's a crucial time during the holiday season. It could help somebody put a turkey on the table or be able to buy gifts for their children. But what I would also like to do is maybe the person that doesn't think about the deferred comp would see the growth of even a small $250 and say, wow, this is what it does. Maybe I should put a little bit more money into it. A lot of people are hesitant at first to enter. And then when they see the growth associated with it, sometimes it leads them to invest a little bit more on their own.
Well,
that would be the question I would ask.
And I guess here's the question I have in relation to that. Is this something that can, where the employee, like some other benefits, has a choice, or does it have to be all one or all?
Well, if you're going to do, first of all, the deferred comp's a choice. It's a choice.
Okay.
If you do any type of match with the deferred comp. Again, that's a choice by the employee, but then taking or accepting or not accepting a match, that needs to be all in. The rule needs to be if you participate with a 457, you're also eligible for this match.
Right. All you'd have to do is open the account.
I'm saying.
Well, again, well, I'm sorry. We have to check on that.
Right.
Because yeah. I think it will require a contribution from the employee. I've just never seen it the way you're describing it, so that's why I'm thinking it's probably not possible, but we'd have to look into it.
And I guess what I'm saying is, can the employee make a choice where the amount of funding from the town is identical in our costs, even though, you know, maybe the deferred funding over time is worth more, but maybe the amount that goes out in any one particular year is less.
Atypically, what you see in the municipality, for the larger municipalities that do have a deferred comp match, the IRS limits on contribution, there's a dollar amount, mm-hmm. and that would probably only affect a very few people within the town of Berlin. However, what you typically see is a 1 to 15% match, and just giving you a hypothetical here, 1 to 15% from the employee contribution, and then a match from the employer, you know, percent, dollar for dollar, up to X amount. And what you see with most places, I have not seen one that exceeds 5%.
Right. So what I'm saying is, given, let's say we're talking about either 500 or 750, is the amount that we're talking about how it is provided to the employee, that certainly can't be more than 5%.
No.
I mean, even for lowest paid folks.
No.
So, anyway, I guess what we're saying is find out this information. It looks like to me on some of these issues, we may have to finish this up at a regular session or whatever.
Executive session, maybe.
Yeah. And as long as we're not talking about any individuals, then we can make an informed decision. And quite frankly, and I know you do this anyway, any information we provide ahead of time so we're not looking at it the first time.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about, well, I have one for you. We talked about this 3% not calculating as high for some of the hourly employees. It would be my suggestion is that we limit the $750 one-time payment to the hourly employee and exempt those that are. Jeff, I'm going to get it mixed up.
Exempt employees.
Yes. And not include the exempt employees.
And so if you can get us, again, what impacts, how that impacts, plus the total dollars. Because ultimately we're approving a budget, so we need to know the impact on the on the budget.
Yep.
Of course.
Also, with our 3% increase, does that hit the increase of anything, say, with state retirement and all, once that is everything factored in, are we still giving an actual increase to the employees, or will we see a decrease in paycheck?
Right now, for FY19, if the employer here decides to give whatever increase, there's no hidden cost, if you will, for the employees. Everything for FY19 will remain with the employee as it is currently in FY18. So it would be a pure increase.
Okay. Thank you.
But in terms of a person getting additional money in their paycheck or not, it's a function of their individual tax situation.
That's not our control.
And that's not within our control. Yep. But in a lot of cases, we wouldn't necessarily know.
But sometimes the retirement or something may increase, and that will cause an actual decrease in the amount that they would get.
It doesn't get offset, though.
Well, the retirement is a 7%, what deducted from actual paycheck and what we contribute to the state. But then it varies on your personal exemptions
exactly.
and how you change your status from single to married.
Okay.
I'll give you an example of myself. If I get increased, it seems like I'm paying to federal tax more, and I get less on the paycheck. So it all depends on how you claim it each year, and they're allowed to change their status if a baby born or somebody got married.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not divorce.
I didn't want to mention that.
It was not so subtle.
That's a complicated financial
transaction. Yeah. And I'll send this all to you, but just as an FYI, the exempt employees with the down program is 9.
9.
City or department managers.
Okay.
one-time payment, I'd say.
This is year. This is year five?
We've had 5 years.
This will be year five.
This will be year six.
This will be year six.
No, year five, I'm sorry, Councilor Nora. Yes.
Some of them had no raises.
This is year five.
I just think it's awful challenging to mess with something that we've got in place like that. And it's kind of like taking that carrot and throwing it on the other side of the fence and saying, you can get over it, you can have it.
The only thing I'm talking about, though, is the increase, not the actual $500 that we've been given.
It's too confusing. Some of these people live paycheck to paycheck.
I understand.
They're not like you and me. They live paycheck to paycheck, and this is a lot of money to them.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that if the $500 would remain untouched unless we choose to increase it, at which time the employees would see that increase.
I understand what you're saying. And I'm telling you, if you offer something to somebody, you can't mandate what they've got to do with it. That's not right.
I see what you're saying.
But we're not deciding anything tonight.
Exactly. I think we want to make sure everybody
we're just listening. So I take it, Tom, you are of the opinion provide whatever increase and let the employee determine what happens to their money.
Absolutely. I know I can spend my money better than government can. Absolutely.
Okay. Good. Well, we're looking forward to that. Now we can get back to the police department.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Our lines, we have a few of them that actually increase. I'll try to go ahead and touch on those real quick.
Okay.
For professional services, which is $52,500, it actually increased by $600. And that actual line was, or that actually increase is actually for veterinary services for the canines.
Okay.
Going down to building maintenance, which is $5,250. Don't name the counts.
Just the name.
Okay. Building maintenance, it actually went up by $2,200, and that actually was an increase for waxing of the floors annually. Going to the next one is utilities, and the increase.
It's page two.
Is because of the actual size of the new station, and the increase is, you know, purely because of that.
What line is that?
Utilities.
Page two.
And it would be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. There's a lot of line.
And then the last one before we go to capital would be employee training. That one increased by quite a bit. And we went well over that amount, and that is purely education reimbursement for employees that are actually able to take college courses. Last year, we actually were behind the curve because we didn't know that they were actually putting in for that budget time. Therefore, we have a deficit, and we're correcting it. And we have the increase of individuals who are actually looking at that service.
How many do you have in college right now or taking extra training?
Three right now that are actually in college, and this is only for college.
That's great to see.
Good investment. Okay.
Tim, I got a question. Oh, Jackson. Poor Jackson.
He stepped out.
He just stepped out for a second.
He'll be right back. Okay. Would you like to go over the capital items? That's the only item left that we can discuss in details. Other than that, all the items pretty much in within the line. Was
the fingerprint expense?
Fingerprint expense is the monies that basically collected at the front and then sent out to. So it's pretty much a wash. We charge customers to come
right.
in to fingerprint, and then it goes back to the state. State, right? Is it goes to state?
To the state.
So most of this is like a service?
It's a service that we provide, but we receive a small percent. We keep a very small percent, but most of the revenues go out, and that's the expense line that we charge the expense.
So when we pay the income and expense.
So we collect and we send out.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally $30 that actually the state charges for the actual processing, and they do not charge the individuals, they actually charge us. So we go ahead, take their money, pay them, and we have to charge a fee also.
We do charge a fee?
We do charge
a fee. What is our fee?
Our fee up there is generally $20.
Okay, good. So we're making some revenue on that.
We make some revenue. We have to have several entities that are gratis. Board of Education is gratis. They have their own machines, so we don't have them as much. We do foster care and Worcester Youth. Those three entities we do for gratis. And other all other law enforcement agencies, we do those for free.
Mr. Burrell, do you have a question?
Question. To Jeff, is this a good workers' comp number? This is the number?
Yes.
This is the number?
Yes.
And it went up that much?
Yes, sir.
My goodness. I was looking at 2015-16 and comparing it to what is projected for this year. Well, that's a bunch of money.
But just to add a little bit of clearance, the way we've been allocating the workers' comp in prior years, when you say 14-15, it was split among the general fund and department by number of employees. This particular fiscal 19, we allocated those expense according by the department charge. So it's a little bit of different.
What is it called? The charges that came within each department.
Correct.
Okay.
So it seems like a lot more. There is an increase. It's correct. But also in within that, it's a little bit more accurate number towards the police department in general.
They did a little correction from what it was in the past.
Now, over time, assuming that there's less compensation claims that are normal, you know, part of the cycle, if they go down over, let's say, 2 or 3 years, would that cost?
That number should decrease if they clear the claims up to 3 years, so we have 3 year fallout period.
Right. And the other part of the equation is the age of the employees that actually there equates. That's something you can't change.
Yeah. And they can't either.
Yes.
Again, workers' comp is based on three job classes, one of which is the administrative staff, one of which is the water resources, electric, etc., and then the third is the police department. Those rates are determined, one, based off what's called a mod factor, and what's looked at are claims, and they stay on the books, and we're in the what I call the third year of the ride. We have a year that we're having this year right now. When it finishes up, one of those I call not so good years is going to fall off. So make it real simple. We've been climbing that roller coaster. Now we should be at the top. And all stays clear, we should see a sizable decrease next year.
Thanks, Jeff.
Your workman's comp across the board went up. How much percent, how many percentage points overall?
I'm trying to think, to be honest. Let me do some.
I'm just curious.
It was around 30%+.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
it was significant.
And you just reallocated these just to go with each department?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Just Jeff, we went
to a total for the town at $427,000. A month and a half ago, that figure was well over $500,000.
Gotcha. Understood.
And Jeff negotiated a huge discount. I've heard the original number. It was much more than what it is right now. He spent days on the phone trying to get different quotes.
Last year at this time, we had a significant increase.
Yep.
And the workers' comp carrier that we utilized is Chesapeake, the old iWIF. And last year, I mean, the bottom line was we begged, borrowed, and stole with this organization. I can use those terms, but you tell me what I can do, anything that I can do. So we being me, entered into a workers' comp 101 as if I were brand new so I could get credits. I mean, I said, give me whatever. I don't care what I have to do. Give me, you know. So we went from over $500,000 down to $427 this year. And then the other thing that I do want to clarify or give you accurate on, the one-time pay
July 19th. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
All right, so Chief, do you have anything else you wish to
capital outlay accounts.
Okay.
They start on page one, and the first item, I don't want, Arnold, you want to explain each one of them?
The ATV purse is actually a four-wheeler that was discussed previously in regards for events and in anticipation of more events being larger, number one, downtown, and events at the newly acquired park. So that is actually that reasoning, and we actually had issues getting through with the fireworks from one location to another location, and that brought up that discussion.
I have one question. I can see where there's large crowds and all kinds of unusual circumstances, especially with small streets. Have you developed or at least initial ideas of what the policy will be for when it's used and when it's not? Because, let's face it, I imagine human beings would rather drive an ATV on some days than in a squad car. So if it has, in other words, if it has what is designated for, and what is its proper use, if a car is broke down, it's better than having nothing. But I can't help but think, it's not about the police, it's about being human, that if you got a choice between getting a police vehicle that's got to be cooled down and all that, or hopping on the ATV, some people would maybe prefer that. So I'm just throwing it out as, I would hope that there's some sort of policy about what its proper use is. So it just, you know, I just think that makes sense. I know where it was with State Highway. There were some vehicles, mm-hmm. some of the pickups were pretty cool.
Or more fun.
And everybody was jumping on them all the time, and other vehicles were listed. So they came up with a system that made it fair. And I'm just suggesting that because I think, based on my one lifetime experience, if you have guidelines, it just eliminates a lot of problems for you, not for us.
I wonder with this line item if we could maybe consolidate the fire company's request for a public service vehicle for special events and the police department's request with maybe like a public service tent that houses one vehicle that can suit both needs. I would like to see whether that's something that could be justified, because $10,000 request from the police department, and then I'm sure a fire company vehicle is probably going to come close to that as well. We're looking at probably $20,000 to $30,000 in special utility vehicles. I would like to see a way that maybe we could share that use.
Again, that would be something that you would be able to go ahead and really ever think and look at. We know if the vehicle is actually supposed to be used for two parties, and one's way over here and the individual's over here, it's going to be a little bit on the difficult side. But again, we are still trying to go ahead and set up the protocols for the large events. And again, we need to go ahead and finalize those. So again, even if we push this back and say, once we go ahead and look at the protocols and finalize what we're actually going to go ahead and say is the large event, that means Christmas, we're actually talking about fiddlers, we're talking about the fireworks, and those sort of things. And then we can come back and get a feel of where we are. We already know we actually have used personal four-wheelers before. Jamie's actually have used them, you know, again, for parades and that sort of thing. So we know what has been, but we have to come back, like you said, and look and say, how many events are we really talking about, and does it justify the need?
And with the Matrix report, what one thing was mentioned was that they don't want the ambulance responding down town. So, but if we were to think a little bit proactively and stage an ambulance near a special details tent, like a public service tent, and have the police department in a vehicle that is capable of carrying a patient, then the police department will most of the time, if not every time, respond to a medical emergency at a special event. And the fire department is going to be transporting that patient in an ambulance. So the vehicle that the police department may have could provide the medium of getting the patient from wherever that spot is to the ambulance, which I think would be maybe the best use of town dollars
and what
resources.
I would suggest is, I think that's one of the things that should be considered as we're negotiating our contract for services with the Berlin Fire Department as related to EMS. That way, we're all going to be on the same page, because when the emergency happens, we don't want anybody saying, no, it's you. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that we can come to that. If this works out where, you know, obviously the police department's there for law enforcement, crowd control, you know, a few people who sometimes lose their sense of good judgment. But with the emergency medical services, it could be anything from somebody just having overcome by heat, or maybe a serious heart attack or something. And I think this is one of the things, before we go out and buy anything, actually, let's have that as part of the conversation and say, how can our police department and how can our Berlin Fire Company, EMS, and their equipment, not yet to be purchased, be of the greatest complement to each other? That I see nothing wrong with exploring the possibilities before we go do something, then they go do something, and then we say, oh, wish we had talked about that.
I think a coordinated effort would be nice.
Are you all right with that, Chief?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
So just to clear, are we suspending ATV? Are we leaving it in the budget till further decision?
Why don't we keep it for now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want to leave it for now, but not keep actually it for purchase now, anything until the conversation?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I think we're anticipating something from the fire department as well.
For a company?
Yeah. I think we're anticipating a request for funding for their vehicle. So this way, all we're saying is let's be coordinated, and that way we get the best bang for our buck for both public safety services. You know, it's all about public safety in each case, just different, taking care of different situations.
Okay. So just to be clear, we'll leave it in there, but we're not going to purchase anything until we have the conversation with the fire company.
Yeah, I want to make sure we're
coordination
all
that
everybody's totally engaged, so that we get the most we complement each other as much as humanly possible. Okay.
Thank you.
Next line is $10,000 from body cameras.
Page two.
Yeah, the top of page two.
And I'm actually going to have a discussion with Legit on the 15th. They have been assisting in the policy procedures and procurement of body cameras. We are in discussions with doing a demo with Taser, and we just realized that currently we are going to be, because no other entity in Worcester County currently has body cameras. Pocomoke no longer has theirs. So we're trying to go ahead and other feel a way around that. And we have three different policies from neighboring agencies to go ahead and work with. But I think the best thing to do is go ahead and do the pilot program, have two cameras, and we're trying to work on that. It might be in the end that the amount is totally pulled out of the budget, and it'll be coming around the next budget year, but we'll be able to go ahead and know within the next 3 weeks.
Why did Pocomoke pull theirs off?
Again, equipment issues. You have to really either speak to them to ask that question.
Arnold, mm-hmm. The one thing that I'd add, not being a body camera expert, with Legit, one of the things that they stress year after year after year, yeah, they do have a grant, if you will, but they harp again and again and again. You know, the cost of the body cameras are one thing, but it's also that there's a big responsibility and a big cost when you get into the storage of that data. Mm-hmm. So let us not forget that.
And yeah. Right now, in talking with Taser, all the equipment's going to be free. It's a $79 per unit per month charge. So we're just trying to go ahead and, you know, move around with that and find out the different access and the cost. So, again, we're trying to get ahead and educate ourselves with the changes, because, again, we believe we were going to be buying hardware and that Legit would have been able to go ahead and assist. Now we're having a group come back and say, we don't want you to pay for the equipment. We're going to give you the equipment. We're just going to charge you a monthly fee per unit. Next is Chevy Tahoe, $40,000. That will be outfitted. In-car camera system. That's going to actually replace or actually go in a car that does not have one.
Do all of your cars after this, will they have cameras?
All cars will not have one. Again, I do not have one. Lieutenant Fisher will be getting this one here, and we might be one short after this one with the in-car. Our base patrol, meaning all the officers, they actually have one in the vehicle. And should be one short after this one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Chief, is that a replacement vehicle or is that a new vehicle?
The vehicle itself is a replacement vehicle. The MDTs is actually two of those. Again, we have to go with the Dell computers, and we have to go ahead and replace them every 3 years. So these are actually replacement computers themselves. Radar is actually a replacement radar. And we're looking at the additional fingerprint system, so it actually can be in the front, not in the back, in the secure area, so we can go ahead and use the fingerprint room. We are trying to go ahead and look if we can go ahead and get a discount on this actual price. Our old unit, they will give a trade-in, but they are waiting for the state to go ahead and certify the unit for the trade-in. So the unit, which is a little bit cheaper, maybe by $1,500, is not certified in the state of Maryland yet, and it's just going through a vetting process. The next one is the actual chart interactive display, and we got pulled aside by Superintendent of Schools Lou Taylor, and he says, this right here is old technology. You need to go ahead and have an interactive board like we have in the high schools. And we had an opportunity to go ahead and speak to folks from the training commission who might want to come down and do some training, and the pluses of actually having an interactive board where individuals can sit with their laptops and interact with the actual board itself, and the person will be able to write on the board directly in their actual education. So, again, we're talking about the current technology versus, you know, a PowerPoint machine. We actually think we can go ahead and get this price down by another $2,000. This is the only bid we had so far. We're researching it, and we're there figuring out how we can install it ourselves instead of the $1,000 for somebody else to install it in those things, in which we had the original quote for.
Well, the department did we make use of this if necessary?
In the training room, that is correct. And the one thing, we know the training commission's already out there asking. Legit, when I have the meeting on the 15th, they're already talking about they haven't had any training on the lower shore at all. Mid-shore is low as they've been going, and it gives them an opportunity to go ahead, utilize them during their individuals. For us, if it's a fee-based system, they will come in and say, we'll give you two or three seats for free and go ahead and provide the training at whatever cost to the other entities.
Is this are you talking about a smart board?
That's correct.
Yeah. It would be nice to get a community cert class as well.
Excuse me?
Community cert class. Talk to Tom King.
You talking about certification?
It's like a...
It's an emergency response
emergency
team.
Response, okay. Yes. Okay. Like a community-based ground level.
I'm still learning the smart board.
And again, Tommy definitely could have there utilized when you know what Tommy can get hit. Yeah. That is the capital budget, and it's considerably less than the last couple years in budget. And really, they're lower than the previous one before that.
So it's $85,000 for various capital items for the police department. $85,100. Yeah, the total's on page one.
Seth, any more questions? If not, we will move to enterprise funds, if that's okay.
I bet electric's next.
No, they're not.
No?
No, there it is.
Water.
Water.
So water would like to go next.
Yeah, it's water. So sitting on your
capital
list, you need to just turn the page to page two.
Thank you. Thank you.
Starting there.
An unnumbered page two. Yeah.
Which one?
A numbered
so
page two.
The last three station packets, it's water, sewer, and stormwater. So if you just set aside the electric, which is next item after the list. And then on the vertical pages,
This is what I was talking about. Did you get your capital list?
On the capital pages, you just need to flip first page and you will see the capital items.
Is that where we're starting on the utilities?
We're going to go to enterprise funds and we're going to go to water funds. revenues for each fund, and I'll let Gene and Marvin and Jamie go over the expenses and we discuss the capital outlays.
So which one are we starting with?
Water.
Water.
Okay, thank you.
Great,
thank you.
Water fund revenues, page one. Overall, a total of $1,127,000, and it's $65,000 decrease, which equals 5%. The main decrease basically is special connections, and just a reminder, EDU special connections, they're split between water and sewer. We have estimated for commercial to be about 30 units. Some residential units about 5, and then we have parcels next to the cottages and Purnell Crossing. Those are estimates included in the revenue projections for EDUs.
Okay, and what, and you just briefly said that commercial was 30?
Commercial is 30.
Right. Residential 5.
Residential is 5.
Okay.
We have parcels next to cottages.
Okay.
That would be residential
20,
as well.
It's residential 20, thank you, Jade. And then Purnell Crossing at 7 estimated, and that is residential as well.
Okay, so we got 35. What was cottages? I didn't get that.
Cottages is 20.
20.
You have all the details mid page on page 1. They're all
62 total.
They're all in the middle of the page in the breakdown.
Okay, now it's
just.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have to get these made bigger.
Yeah, I tried. I'm sorry. But if I'm making this bigger, then I'm going to the big pages. And
I know.
It just becomes too cumbersome.
And we were very conservative because we didn't include anything for Oceans East, even though they're going, you know, full steam ahead. But we weren't sure if they would start the new phase within this next year or not, or just continue
so
with the
So rather be
so,
conservative
right.
than budget something, and then we won't be able to receive at the end. The water service, in general, we're keeping pretty much in the same. I have looked at the monthly billing, and we kind of stay in the same range for all of the water accounts. A little bit of decrease in ready-to-serve because I guess people develop their lots and switch to regular metering.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else stays pretty much the same. The only thing I want to point out, on each fund you will see prior year surplus. It is not an actual account as red surplus. What we do is carry over the items that we haven't purchased or developed or improved. If, for example, we haven't purchased a vehicle this year and we will rebudget next year, that will be covered for the surplus for the year end.
The money that wasn't spent is being reallocated.
It's a rollover.
Yeah,
yeah, so being reallocated to the next
right,
month.
On the little schedule, if you see in brackets, CF means carry forward from prior year.
Where are we at?
We are on page one
in
water.
Page one in water. I'm looking
about
for...
About two-thirds of the way down.
I'm looking for that note about carry forward.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In the middle.
It's
I got it now.
It's on page.
But right on that front page, there is a carryover, Wellhouse, Palatine Avenue,
yeah.
CF,
okay.
For $100,000.
Carry
yep.
forward.
Yep.
I understand your code now.
So, Water Administration, Jane, we'll go over the items that are very different, or if not, we will go to the next department.
We try to keep everything pretty much the same. We do have quite a few capital items that, not in this budget, though. Not in this administration, but, distribution and
so I guess the easy way, let's go through. Water Department is, Water Administration ends on page 3. So the total overall is requested for fiscal 19, rounded 414,000,
yep.
32% decrease, and I believe it's due to the capital items that none is requested for the
right.
water admin. Water treatment is the next item, next department, I'm sorry, and capital on the water treatment is the page is vertical. We can look at that one.
there's that carryover for the well house on Halton Avenue.
Right.
And then an additional $70,000 to finish. Once we got the estimate, it was about $170,000. Well, it hasn't gone out for bid, but the estimate was $170,000 to rebuild that well house and include all new electrical. Hasn't had, except a new roof, it hasn't had anything done to it in at least 30 years since I've been here.
Cracking.
Yeah.
So total for water treatment, we have $355,829. That's your page 4. It's an increase of $53,000, and the main part of it is the capital outlay account, which is the well house at Pottleton.
So the total is 350, and of that, 170,000 is the warehouse thing.
Correct. That's correct.
Why are we no longer on page 3 carrying forward the depreciation?
Depreciation is not an operating line item. We don't expense anything under the line item. The system carries all the accounts that are listed. That is calculated by PKS and Company at the end of the year, and it's applicable only on the net profit and loss account and the financial statements, not budgetary item.
Okay. So where we have the depreciation expense, we'll see that at the end of the year?
Yes, an actual item.
That's fine. Thank you.
Water distribution is page 4, and we have a couple of capital outlay accounts, items here.
In case Marvin, you don't recognize Marvin, he's not saying anything here. So he is Marvin.
I
not
the
usually at a loss for words.
Who's impersonating Marvin?
Looking very sharp, by the way.
Yeah, I like the tie a lot.
Marvin
looks really good.
It's working. Leave it alone.
That's
We're asking for a dewatering pump for $5,300, $200. Some inserter valves. This winter when we had all the leaks, sometimes we couldn't get the water shut down, and so they have valves that they can just go without shutting the water down and just insert the valves into the water system.
To stop into that one location or two locations.
Right. So we have some valves in town that are in pretty rough shape. They're about getting like me. So we're going to do that this year, start on it. It's probably going to be ongoing project, but we do want to start somewhere.
Yeah, we don't last winter left the like, first time we've used the inserter valves.
No, on West Street we had a couple put in there, but they're a little more costly, but you don't interrupt everybody's
service.
And hopefully we can get to the point where we don't have to turn off half the town to fix a leak. Mm-hmm. And
that
makes
the idea
sense.
That you do this over few years,
right?
So you're guessing within 4 or 5 years you'll
That's
have.
That's what we're hoping. We hope to do 20 a year.
Okay.
We're asking for six.
Six, 11, but we have some already in. So.
Yes. We're asking for 11 more.
Yeah.
For this year.
Right. And then we have some 1-inch meters, which a lot of. That's what the town is going to. We were using 3/4 by 5/8-inch meters, but with the new fire system, everything is being upgraded to 1-inch meters and 2-inch meters for the commercial. And then we have pits that we need to put the meters in. So that is the capital we're asking for.
So the meters are charged to non-capital items because they're considered to be as inventory, but it's a the total amount of $36,350, you see it on page 5.
For the non-capital?
For the non-capital, yeah. We're going to skip a little bit further.
And any new meters are paid for by the property owner when we install them, so we will get reimbursed for the pits, the meters, and so forth. Anything that wears out that we replace after their life expectancy, that is the town's responsibility. But these, the meters and the pits, this is anticipated to be new development.
And I'm working on, if I can get the 50 at one time, I might get a discount. So that's why we put 50.
I think we skipped the watering pump.
He did say that.
He mentioned it. I think you might have skipped the street water valves, though.
Street water valves.
Because
Because I heard you talking about the insert valves.
Insert valves.
The no, they were the 5 and the 6.
Yeah,
okay. That's the
11. That's the 11. Okay, you're right.
So overall for water distribution, we have $357,000 and it's $81,000 increase, so it's 29%. Of that, we have $36,000 in non-capital for meters and $105,000 in capital items for valves.
Are we still doing a study on the
yes.
rate? And yes. that's Is that in the professional services or?
It's actually in this fiscal year. DBF's working on it now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Any questions for water?
Yes, the total for all the water.
Total for all of the water is on page 1. So total of revenue is equal total of expenses.
Okay, got
it. It's 1.1. First of all, is the EDU projections to be on the very conservative side. We also decrease in a little bit of sewer services by $50,000 just to look at the projected amounts that we go forward for billing. It's decreasing overall of actual use. So I'm just trying to be a little bit conservative as well. Prior year surplus, $20,000. That's a carry forward item from fiscal 18, which is right now, for a lift station at William Street. Sewer administration department starts page 1, continue on page 2. Any significant items that we need to look at?
I don't think so. The bottom line is for sewer administration is a reduction of 39%.
Yes.
I got a question.
Okay.
I got a question. Sewer service.
Yes, sir.
The year to date is 1.1.
Yes, sir.
What is budgeted is 1.6.
Yes.
Is that going to be a sharp fall?
It most likely will be because for some reason, people are not utilizing the water as much, and that's connected together. Water services and sewer services, the same thing by metering. We try to kind of evaluate, and I discussed this with Jane. People are more conservative. They're not using the sprinkler system. They're not washing their vehicles. They're just utilizing the water smart ways.
Is that because of the metering, monthly metering, or what?
It's not due to the metering. I don't think it has to do anything. It's just in general the usage for the water and sewer decreased.
You think it's a conservation, a function of some conservation?
I believe so.
So you think after years of saying they can save money by conserving,
yes.
It's actually happened?
It's actually happened.
I mean, that's a good thing.
And I think we had a very rainy kind of
We did
season.
Have a rainy year,
so
our irrigation,
much.
They didn't wash their cars as often.
Yeah. They didn't fill the pools.
They didn't have to fill the pools.
Yeah, a very dry year would bring a different result.
Absolutely.
Oh, and the other races don't wash cars neither?
What car? What's the races?
Oh, yes. Car wash.
I was down there myself.
Yeah. So despite this projected shortfall, we are still projecting 1.5 million.
I believe so. I mean, we have 80 apartments that are still vacant.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that, and there's other three buildings will be opening up here too. So that's possibly 160 minimum bills at 77.
And I think that's why the number's down as opposed to just adding that development on top of what we budgeted this year. I think that it took it down to account for that.
You said 80?
There's 80 with meters in right now, 80 units. Three buildings down there at Ocean's East. Mm-hmm. But that just, actually the last two meters were put in today.
This morning.
This morning.
Is this Ocean's East we're talking about?
Yeah.
There's
on the second building?
On the third building. Yep. Okay. So the first building is just about full. We saw people moving in into the second building, and now the third building is complete with the water on. I imagine people start moving in there.
There's 30 units each building.
No, these have 24 and 24 and 24.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And the next one is 36.
Yeah, the next one is 36.
There is those three. Yeah.
Okay. The last one is.
Well, there's.
I mean, the
newer one that.
The newer one.
Yeah.
And the next one has how many?
They either have 24 or 36. So we have two that have meters that have 24, and then the one today has 36.
Okay.
Sorry if I was confused.
No, sorry.
Now, are we expecting them to come back at all anytime soon for a request with more users?
It looks like they're, buttoning up everything, and that. The clubhouse looks just about done. I mean, they have some grounds work to do, but the buildings themselves are pretty much, the interiors are pretty much fit out. So I would think, but that's why we didn't include it in our estimates. We didn't want to be.
Do they have a sprinkler system there?
Yes.
Sprinkler system?
Irrigation meters? Uh-huh. I mean, irrigation. Interesting you should ask that. They do have them, but at this point they're asking for a well to be drilled. We are totally opposed.
On property that's in the county.
Yeah, but they want to pipe it in, and we're not going to allow that. I've told them that they can meter.
What do they take the towns here for? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's not 1990.
Exactly.
So going back to the question about when they might be coming to us for additional ADUs, my understanding from talking to Dave Engelhart is he's been told they're not planning on making that request until the apartments are filled. And so they're early in that stage right now. So it's hard to say exactly when they're going to show up, but I don't think it's going to be around the corner, or at least until they've told us, until those apartments are
filled. I don't know, summertime, they might get quite a...
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I think we're on sewer administration.
Administration.
We have the one capital item is, Bottle Branch Road is in dire need to be milled and overlaid. Part of Bottle Branch is included in an MDE grant application because it includes redoing the road, but also redoing the edge of Hudson Branch along Bottle Branch Road, but the entire length of the road should be done. So most of the damage, a lot of the damage occurred because of the septic haulers going in and out of Bottle Branch Road. It wasn't built to town standards back in the day. So the sewer department will pay the additional out of the hauler fees, make them responsible to upkeep the road that they're destroying.
So where do you see Bottle Branch Road and then in brackets Stonewater Project, meaning it's shared with Stonewater Project together. So $50,000 is on the sewer fund and the remainder is in Stonewater Fund.
Well, that was the only...
That's under the
administration
right.
Capital item.
Right, so then under collection system, Jamie?
On the collection system side, we have a couple. I believe we got the William Street evaluation. It should be for all street evaluation, Natalie.
What is it, Jim?
On 5810, it should be $5,000.
It's just mislabeled. It should be Broad Street lift station evaluation.
William Street lift station's in some rehab need. So we've got some budget numbers together, and that's where we come up with $100,000. It does get used a lot, and the pumps are, well, I'll put it this way, I'm born in 1978, and they're before me. 69, so we need to replace a pickup. It's, you know, it's a
replacement.
We're replacing two for one. We just need to replace it, just do up. I mean, it's, every time we turn around, it's costing us money to fix it. So
with the pickup, is that something that it's going to be out and about on the roads and things like that? Can we get a price for striping the back?
Yeah, that's the problem. I would like most time we buy it off a state contract, so it's, the state does the work for us on that, but I understand what you're talking about. I call it the railroad tracks for the safety stuff,
I'd like to see that on all of our vehicles moving forward.
And that's on the collection system side. That Broad Street's evaluation, you know, we've got to do an evaluation on to it to see if we have to rebuild it and what size to build it to.
And that's something DDF would do for us.
There was one done 12 years ago, probably.
Too out of date.
Exactly. So we need to see where we are and what the trigger point is to when it's at capacity and need to expand.
So the $5,000 item that you see, it says lift station William Street evaluation. It should say Broad Street. I labeled it wrong. Sorry.
Which one?
It's second item on your vertical page. Okay. It should say lift station Broad Street evaluation $5,000.
It says it right on the on.
It's in the
right
report,
on.
But it's incorrect on the big report.
Okay.
On the big page. So I'll change that.
And the lift station is one of those CF things.
The carry forward $20,000 from this fiscal year.
Okay.
We haven't expensed that. And then we add an 80 to make 100 total. That's what Jamie was talking about, estimated to be total of 100,000.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with William Street, but it's actually underground. It's right there in front of a ShopQuick. You wouldn't even know it. There's like
the
a little
station.
Yeah,
well,
there's like
a
can.
On. There's a red light if it's in trouble. There's a white light if it's good.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
And it's very dangerous to go down. It's probably 15 feet down. When the pumps decide they don't want to work or a valve doesn't hold, it floods. So it really needs some work done to it.
Yes,
it's overdue.
The whole area is much more developed than it
absolutely.
Was when that was put in.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't know, I don't want to say it, but I love Dunkin' Donuts, but I don't know if they don't put nothing over the tracks. But we're constantly pulling them.
Yeah.
Grease?
No.
No, rags. Just rags. And
no. But, I mean, that's par for the course. I mean, it's not only there. It's West Street, Broad Street, Flower. I mean, it's all over. I mean, Elroy sees us, he's gracious enough to let us use his driveway to pull in there and park. But.
Rinse the lift station off.
It's been a lot of time there.
Spare all the pumps down.
So, I wish I had a... I wish I had a tape recorder the last 2 years when I came to you and it said that are going to be asking for another employee. Well, we're here again, third year, and Jamie's going to give the... We did provide Laura with the job descriptions and answer
the
questions.
Department?
For actually water treatment operator.
Sewer fund, water treatment.
Yes. Wastewater treatment plant.
Wastewater.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on.
So I'll let you explain that.
And so that's in the treatment plant section of the budget, which is on page 4, sort of towards the middle of the page. And you'll see that the salaries full-time have gone
86.
Up. Yeah,
right.
So Jamie's going to just explain why they need that person.
Well, as you know, the town's growing, and so we're kind of spread thin. And the treatment plant used to have pretty much five pumps that ran all the time. So we've went from 5 pumps to probably close to 100 running. And, you know, after so long, we do need to do maintenance. And I can't expect one guy to, you know, there's one guy that pretty much all he does is service his pumps, change his belts, you know, and all the other stuff that go along with it. And, you know, so I've asked for another person to try to help, you know, because we're getting behind. I mean, a lot of the stuff we should have had done by January, and we're just getting started on it now, so...
And how many people have down doing it? One person?
We have 4 down at the treatment plant, but that includes Jamie.
Okay.
And it also includes Megan. It also includes Dave, but he spends 100%, 95% of his time doing the lab work. That's what he was hired to do, and that's what he does. He does have a CDL, so when we're in a pinch, he'll get in and, you know, go get some dirt, sand, crush and run, whatever we need. When you need three people to pull a pump, a lot of times we're pulling from stormwater, so then that gets neglected, or the water department. We all help each other, so that's just par for the course. I mean, it's just what we do. Wednesday's bulk pickup. We'll all be helping with the bulk pickup with Public Works. The treatment plant is high maintenance, extremely high maintenance.
So I have a question here. Mm-hmm. Is because it looks like you're not quite doubling the amount for salaries, right, for the treatment plant.
What we did on that?
How does that happen?
One employee who was being charged to the spray site, we moved him to the treatment plant. So then the new employee that they're proposing is added on in addition to that.
Right.
We moved a person around.
Right, where did that come off?
Spray site.
Well, we moved a lower paid employee to the spray site. Yeah. Most show requires two people at each site whenever anybody's out there because it's remote and somebody could get hurt, and so they have to buddy system out there. There's 1,000 acres. Somebody could get hurt, and it could take days to find them if we don't know where they are, so that's why we always have two people out there.
Is that the roughly $15,000 reduction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
In the spray site,
which is on page
Yes.
Five.
Okay, thank you.
What about... Two people have to be there because it's so big.
It's remote. The cell service doesn't work very well out there. Radios don't work very well out there. We're right
spray
along.
Sites.
At the spray sites.
Okay.
Two spray sites.
Didn't you say we removed one person from there and put here?
Just on paper.
We moved one that was on there. But his actual title was assistant superintendent of wastewater, so he should be at the treatment plant. Somehow just got overlooked. And then the person who has been working at the spray site was under treatment plant, so we just it was housekeeping. We corrected where they were supposed to be.
They actually haven't moved, but where their salaries are charged
yes.
are now in line with what they actually did.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay,
not deleting a physical person, just
right.
moving the number from one department to another.
Right. From close to hopefully accurate.
Now back to the issue of
exactly.
of one person. Does one person ever go out and like check the heads of the spray site by themselves? Or I know
try not
go
to,
out
but sometimes we do. I mean, because sometimes they're doing other things. So, but they know wherever you know they know what field they're going to, what set they're going to, what zone
right,
they're
that's
in.
What communications.
So they know pretty much where everybody's at.
Should we maybe think about getting like a pass alarm or something so that if they stop moving,
well,
that
I'm
we
gonna be honest
something?
With you, when I was out there at the 5 mile branch when we were investigating it, we got our phones wouldn't even work, and Alan he had to come out there with a horn and blow the horn so we could find a way to get out. But that was 7 years ago. I mean, phones have come a long ways, but you know that was. You know, I mean, I had to stand on top of the boom of the excavator so we could get cell phone reception.
But, I mean, do you think, like, if we had to search for somebody, if we had a way to be able to hear, maybe, that would be helpful?
There's so much out there, I don't know.
That's a good idea. I mean, it's worth checking into.
I mean,
sure.
it's food for thought. I mean,
yeah.
I hate to
yeah.
see somebody out there with a heart attack or something
Absolutely.
And us not be able to find them.
Yep.
So.
But cell phones have come a long ways, too. So, I mean, in the last...
Yeah, but it's a good thing to check.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree.
And how many times do you go to use it? It's dead.
Yeah, and it's interesting because both spray sites, to some extent, are in that, I'll call it that, where it links from one satellite to the other. You, when you go right about where Route 90 is, on Route 50, you lose your reception for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay there, you have no
that's
reception.
Right, yep.
So, and again, it's always been that way because that's where the, what do they call it, handoff.
Yeah,
the handoff
yes.
from one satellite to the other. And that area is, some of it is right in the middle of it.
Quite a cell hell.
And again, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting seeing what happens with these mergers and things like
yeah.
Sprint and
T-Mobile.
Because theoretically.
stronger these companies get that can fill in these gaps. And we'll see. You know, we'll have to see. We certainly can't control it, but we need to monitor. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Capital.
Move on to the treatment plant capital. We're asking for the grip system to be removed. It's kind of hard to explain to you, but it takes out a lot of the small particles, the sand, the grit, medicines. You'll be surprised what you get out of
there. Believe it or not, too, even though we're not on the beach, we get a tremendous amount of sand. And our basin that accepts the sewage coming in, it's like a virtual beach in there within 4 months. So we have to go in there and shovel all the sand out. So with the grit system, it actually has centrifugal force that forces it to settle out, and then it has a pump that pumps it out into a dumpster. So it does save a tremendous amount of
labor. To see that in
for me, sounds is like a big filter.
It does.
Pretty much it is. I mean, it has paddles and it spins it real fast to force the sand down.
Right.
And then the pump will come on and pull all the sand back out and put it into a dumpster, and then it drains the water off. And you have, I mean, it's still manual work because we have to shovel it out of the dumpster into another dumpster. But
let me ask you, down the road, theoretically, if Parks Commission ever wants to have a volleyball course, would you use that sand? Would we be able to transport that sand? Would it be sanitary for volleyball use? Just something to keep in mind, because yeah, everybody says there's another expense.
Too funny.
Okay.
I like that one, Mary. That was good.
Make it happen.
We might spray it.
And I guess on the last one would be the spray site department. We need to put a new floor in there. We had a busted water line in the ceiling, and it kind of like destroyed the floor. So
it's all pitted.
It's coming up in some spots, yeah. So we'd like to get that fixed. You know, the building's 96 and really had very little maintenance done to it until this early spring last year, and it busted. And by the time we got figured out, it was too late to put it in the budget. So I'm asking to put in for it this year.
The building was constructed in 1996?
95 or 96.
It put in operation 96, but it was started probably 94 or 93.
And that would be spray site A. That is where we pump everything to Liberty Town.
Didn't go for all of the items, but all of the summary of the total script fund is on page 7. If you just interested to see increase, decrease from this year to next year by the total of each department and revenues.
In terms of the additional position, Natalie, is that something that the fund can support as an ongoing expense?
We're being very conservative for the revenues this year because of everything else considered. So I believe it will be okay to carry forward. Hopefully we will connect all of the residential's apartments and increase the water rates. As well, my understanding, we're working on a sewer and water rates capacity study, and also at the rates study itself.
When will that information be available?
It's hard to say. I don't think it's going to work for this fiscal year. It looks like it's taking a little bit more time for DBF to prepare that information than we'd originally expected.
So it's something we'd definitely be considering before the next fiscal year.
Well, my 20. Hope is to have a conversation with the council at a public meeting sometime this summer, in which we would roll out a plan if we needed to increase rates and have some sort of time frame for that.
So it doesn't hit the last minute.
Exactly. Or if we do need to do like a big increase, you might do it over time or something like that. That's very premature. I haven't not even seen the report yet. Yeah. But it'll probably come up sometime this summer.
It's been years, so it's time to look.
Right. But it's not something that I think will fit in this fiscal year's analysis.
Yeah. Better to wait till you know than guess.
Yeah.
And just to follow up what Laura was saying, we're also looking into increasing the hauler fees. Those are outside the town. We're providing a service to them. We've looked at the numbers, and we're actually lower than most people, and we want to cover our expenses, electricity costs, pumping costs, chemical costs, hauling the dried sludge and so forth. So I think it's time to...
Is that something they anticipate increasing by July 1?
Probably not July 1, but maybe over the summer.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Soon,
so
if not
us,
by July.
Give us an update.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
great.
Yeah, you guys have to vote on it anyway.
Yeah.
You'll see it coming.
Sure.
Yeah, at least you warned us. No, that's good. That makes sense. Any questions for Jamie or Jamie?
Put a wastewater.
I had one. Sorry, I noticed there's at the top of the page of page 6, forest management plan.
Yes, that
can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the forest management plan is something required by the state of NDE for the spray sites. There's no other way around it. It has to be due every 5 years when our permit. So that our permit was just renewed. So we're in the process of, the day that budget passes, we'll have to get that rolling because, it takes some time and we have to get that in.
And it does cost for the study, but usually they identify acres of land that can be harvested for the timber or for the pulpwood. Right now we can grow it to lumber because we provide such a low nitrogen level. We don't need the vibrant young trees to uptake the nutrients. But in the past, we had 21 acres harvested, and we collected $100,000. So even if they say 50 acres, we're geared to get some revenue from that once we get the report and they tell us where it's time to harvest and replant.
What's the life cycle for that? So by the time we can plant to the point that we could typically harvest for pulp?
Pulp is about 15 to 20 years.
Okay.
Because we do, on areas that we spray, there is some nitrogen and phosphorus, so we're actually fertilizing the trees, so they actually do grow faster. So, usually it's 20 years, but we've had them mature early enough, 15 years to harvest them. So,
who's the purchaser?
We've gone out for bid, and we can't take the highest bidder or the lowest bidder. We want to get somebody who's going to go in there and not destroy our spray heads and the fields.
Yeah.
That's our main concern.
So you're looking for a thoughtful,
right.
Methodical,
yes.
Bidder.
Local.
Yeah.
Well, the gentleman that does a lot of the forestry is Stacy Esham. I don't know if anybody, Parker Forestry. He works with a lot of them, and he kind of oversees it. So he would have a lot of input into it because he does it every day.
Oh, okay.
So I would hope we would recommend to go with whoever he recommends, and and I'm sure it's going to take it out of the overall budget with him to for him to oversee it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he does it every day, and he has his degrees in that kind of stuff. So I would like to if we do some forestry, to keep him on the chain.
And he's working with other spray sites, so he's aware of our particular unique situation where we just don't want those spray heads or the ground damaged. I mean, the pipes are 24 inches down, but if you've seen,
mm-hmm.
when they go out and clear cut,
yeah.
sometimes they just make a mess,
mm-hmm.
and dig these huge, not dig,
ruts.
But they, yeah,
trench.
Ruts, and yes. So that's.
So what he, basically, from his experience and our experience with him, that he minimizes the negative
exactly.
impacts
of
foresting.
And he'll make sure that if something doesn't look right, he'll stop them and make them do some different,
That's what an inspector is supposed to do.
That's right.
And that's pretty much what he does.
Yeah,
he'll
always be the most popular person on the planet.
No,
but
sometimes you don't want him to be the most popular
exactly.
person.
Exactly.
Good.
Do you want to go into stormwater?
Stormwater is a separate report. And stormwater capital items in details on the vertical page as well. Stormwater revenues projected to be $1,760,000. And the biggest items here, we have a DNR grant for Hudson Bridge Phase 1 and Phase 2. We also have a community resilience grant for $175,000. We are keeping the contribution from general fund in the same amount of $50,000. And prior year surplus of $210,000 is a carry forward build in amount to purchase a backtrack over. We are on year 7 to go forward. So each year we set aside $30,000. Fiscal 19 will be year 7 and Jane, help me, how many years?
Ten years. When we need to start thinking, of it's time.
So we have been setting aside the 30,000?
We have been setting aside for 6 years.
This will be seven.
That's why we have 180 now and we'll have 210.
210 for next year. So if we can...
And it's basically socked away so that we have that capital expenditure.
Yes.
We've got the money.
I was just confused where it said seven...
It's on capital outlay.
Seven units at 30,000 for the 210.
So it's 7 years at 30,000 for 210 on expenses. And then the revenue offsets that to basically no impact on the budget.
Okay, thank you.
So overall, it's a little bit of an increase, but the DNR grants are the biggest portion of the revenues for the Hudson Branch, and we are hoping we will receive every penny of that.
Yeah, we won't hear until mid to end of May, but they've been by twice to look at the sites. That's a good sign.
Yes, that's a very good sign.
Stormwater... I just want to give a little bit update here on a stormwater, and it's again, it's just housekeeping. We have moved not a physical position, but the employee on the books to Jeff. Which department? I forgot. Stormwater went to
treatment plant that we just.
So just on the bookkeeping side, that's why you see a decrease in salaries of 29,000. Capital outlay account, we call it capital improvements for stormwater, and all of the projects, if Jane, you would like to discuss them for the Hudson Branch. And
well, most of, even though they're all labeled Hudson Branch, phase one match, phase two, phase Hudson Branch, phase one is what we're working on now.
Now, actually. Hudson Branch flooding improvements phase one is finishing up.
Nelson, Graham,
yeah, Graham,
and
Grace,
Bryce.
And Nelson.
And then the other phase two is turning the old power substation on Graham.
That's part of it as well. And then there's Bay and Bottle Branch Road.
That's
there's
down
the improvements
here,
right
further down.
Right.
Turning the old power on.
There's property in that general area right next to Burley Oak Brewery that used to be a substation, and I asked him to take a look at the feasibility of converting that into an offline wetland, leaving the electric poles that are there in place, which would make it a smallish offline wetland. But we think that additional capacity is really needed in that neighborhood, and the way the water flows, it's the perfect, I mean, when I mentioned it to Darl as a possibility, his eyes lit up and he said it's like the perfect location. So
that area's suffered from flooding back since I was little.
Oh, I know, I live there.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah. You live there, right?
I know all about it.
But it's interesting that it just for whatever reason, it never got thought of because, you know, it had already had a use. But they're not incompatible from what we understand. At all. But we just
have to move some of the utilities that are in the center. But it's not impossible, and that would be identified as part of our contribution towards the match that's, you know, offered up as part of the grant application.
Very nice.
Yeah, it helps leverage the money. They look real favorably when you say you'll be kind.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of a better use for that property. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
currently it kind of looks a little wasted.
Ultimately, the town probably will need to have another substation somewhere in town, but we don't see that in the immediate future. And I think that you've got property across the street that there might be a decent location in the park somewhere that can serve as that purpose. Or maybe it's a dual-purpose building. We have not gotten that far. But we think that's a more effective use of the property, at least at this point. And it looked, you know, it's a good location, but it also was a nice contribution towards the projects, which will make that grant application, I think, pretty attractive to the funding agency.
Very nice. Thank you.
At least I not forget Henry's Mill and Henry's Green Stormwater. That's $100,000.
Yeah, that's for design and permitting.
Right.
Okay.
They have flooding issue there. We have a pretty good idea on how to fix it, but we need the grant money to help. And
you got to have the plans to apply for the grant. Yeah.
So this year we applied to the trust, well, I call it the DNR Trust Fund. It's got a longer name than that. But the DNR Trust Fund, which we typically apply to, but we also tapped into a program called Community Resilience, and it's got a combination of trust fund money, EPA money, and NOAA money. And that resilience, community resilience grant, we're aiming towards funding the design and permitting of Henry's Mill and Henry's Grain for $100,000, and then $75,000 is for an update to their comprehensive plan and the preparation of a resilience element in that comp plan. We had hoped to hear on the community resilience grant a decision on the, you know, from the funding agency by the end of April, basically today, and I got an email from them last week saying they really won't have a decision probably till the end of May, early June. And on the trust fund grants, we won't really know probably till the end of June, early July. And so the thinking is to, I think the mayor likes to use a phrase, plan for success. So the thinking here is that we'll plan for success, we'll expect to get the grants, and then if for some reason we don't, we'll adjust the budget accordingly.
Yeah. Maybe we just won't do it if we don't get it. But at least we plan for it, so if we do get it.
Yeah, and you might recall in the general fund work session I mentioned, we have a small $10,000 amount that's in professional services and administration. On the off chance that we don't get the comp plan grant, there is a little money in there in professional services for us to do the work we need on the comp plan. Okay. And of course, if we get the grant, then we won't spend that money.
Very cool.
Okay. Did I miss anything, Jane?
No.
Bottle Branch Road is portion and water. That's the project I mentioned when we discussed the water. So basically, we're sharing the cost, $10,000 here and $50,000 in
wastewater.
Where's the line for maintenance for what we have already done, upkeep and that kind of stuff? My reference is what we've done on Flower Street, what we've done behind the multi-purpose building. Are we budgeting any type upkeep and maintenance for those locations or locations in general?
Well, we have two full-time people that are constantly cleaning storm conveyances, whether it's in a ditch or a swale or
wetlands.
Yeah, and typically when they focus on one, we pull from other departments so we can get it done. We've cleaned the storm pond on Upshur in Buckingham Estates.
Buttercup.
So what are you saying, that basically the maintenance is an ongoing part of the labor expense, you know, or employee labor expense?
And a little bit in contracted, but not.
Very little in contracted unless it's grant money.
So basically over time, let's look forward to when everything's done. we shall all survive, rather if we're here
Then we just start all over again.
At that point, apparently need enough of people on staff, the people who do the work right on the front lines, to maintain everything, but we won't be having a separate expense.
So a separate line item for maintenance, dealing with upkeep of those stormwater entities, but it's going to be maintained by staff.
Staff, yes. And we have
public
works.
Staff pulled from other.
Public Works has the sidearm mower that goes down in the ditches, so they have traditionally mowed those areas, and they continue to do that.
Okay.
And like I said, the first thing the two staff that work for full time, any time it rains, they're out cleaning the storm drains. I'm sure you've seen them, but they get just crowded up with anything that was out on the street, leaves, brush. People like to blow their grass clippings out in the road. It's very frustrating. So they're out there. That's their first task after it rains. And then after that, they go and they check, always picking up trash in the ditches, and then they're also cutting, weed eating. They're always down there.
Have we got any future plans for Bottle Branch behind those apartments?
Yes, that's part of the grant money. In fact, we've had DNR and MDE come down And like I said earlier, Laura wasn't in here, but that's a good sign when you have both departments come down and they spent hours, well, MDE did, and we were actually in there behind the townhouses all the way up to where the bridge is by, what's his name?
Wolf Terrace.
And that's a really bad area there, and it's overgrown. We had a little few disagreements with MDE. Some they wanted to call it wetlands. In some areas, we said it's full of sediment. We need to clear out the sediment so that the water can flow.
Sometimes get their ideals in the way of their common sense.
Yes, yeah, right.
I mean, that's just the way it works. And if they come down here and show them enough, they'll eventually get the idea.
I was kind of talking about the trash.
Yeah. Well,
and the ditches.
Cleanup day, we took 6 dump truck loads out of there. I don't know how many bicycles, TVs.
It might be a good idea to put a camera there and lock people up.
Well, unfortunately, I think the people who do it, and I mean, it's.
I think it's more of the people when they're moving out.
When they're moving out, they don't want to take it.
A lot of transients.
Yeah.
There's a fence there now, but to have it go back, like I said, it's harder to get those items flipped over.
So
some of those big items have.
You won't know
how
effective it is until we've had a while after it's cleaned up. And again, all I'm saying is, if you think of any additional ways we can reinforce, hyphen, or whatever we need to that fence, it's certainly, that's worth it. Saves money in the long run for everybody.
Yeah, and we have thought about putting a sign that says "Smile, you're on camera."
Right.
We should contact the landlord that owns that project.
We have.
They should have some responsibility.
We have. We've reached out to them.
Any success?
Well, I don't think so, because it seems to be continuing to be a problem. I mean, one of the reasons why we do bulk pickup in town is to give people that opportunity, so they don't have to go to the dump or look for some other alternative, like a ditch or a swale.
Doesn't cost them anything.
But they're commercial pickup. I will say that.
That's
so
true.
We don't.
That's
pick
true.
Up bulk pickup commercial pickups.
Oh, that's right.
Well, they still miss the dumpster and still find
right.
Way
right. In fact, the one next, the next one up, I saw a huge mountain of junk right next to the dumpster. The dumpster wasn't even full, and they threw all the stuff right next to it. You know that the garbage collectors aren't going to tear up.
And then there's one that they remodeled, and it all seemed to, a couple weeks ago, find itself in the ditch. So we were nice enough, we went and cleaned it out and set it back where it was theirs, because, I mean, if not, we've still been there.
It's a balancing act that's not going to change any time soon. But you have to balance out what should be private individual's responsibility versus what is in the better interest of the greater good of the town. And, you know, that it's one of those things where you just make the best judgment you can and be vigilant, I guess is the word.
I will say just so you, for you all, the two gentlemen that do a lot of the maintenance and keep the grass cut, and Marvin can probably vouch for, most of the time, every day they come back with anywhere between 2 to 3 bags of trash. I mean, some of the stuff might be big stuff, but I mean, Marvin can vouch for me. They come back, I mean, every day with 2 to 3 bags of trash.
They are committed. They are very committed to the job, and they are very proud of the work they do.
Good. Well, they should, and that's something too. Maybe there would be a point at an appropriate time, maybe on Employee Recognition Day or something.
They have a rough job getting down in some of the ditches. And
I would gladly give up my $750 bonus if I knew they could get bonuses as a
one-time payments.
But as a department head, I would gladly, because I know that a lot of those guys do live paycheck to paycheck, and I'm
I understand.
Commentating now, I'm sorry, but I just didn't want to throw that in there.
No. It goes a long way being able to hear that. Yep. Though. It really does.
Tell me, I just have one more question, just for clarity. This back truck, that's the truck.
Yeah.
You got it.
The elephant looking nose.
How old is that truck we have now?
2009. Yes.
Time
flies. It does. Especially when we're having fun.
I don't know how many hours it has on it, but we use it a lot.
The life expectancy.
It was your baby, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of still is. I I like driving it. I mean, that's I'm pretty decent on it. Yeah. I feel I can understand it. And
and it has a 10-year life expectancy or life, life expectancy.
They don't, you know, that's the par for life.
So roughly a couple of years, that's when the replacement is anticipated.
That's why they're putting money aside for it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Do we have a similar setup for the trash truck?
No,
the recycling truck?
We're going to start. We're looking at they don't have the kind of extra revenue that
general fund is a little bit different
than an enterprise.
Yeah. Here we considered services collected, so we can set aside general funds pretty much.
Natalie and I have talked to that, and I think we need a vehicle replacement schedule so that we can plan thoughtfully for the replacement, especially of the larger rolling stock like the garbage truck and the recycling truck. So we'll be working on that.
Very nice. Thank you.
Anything else
on stormwater, you guys? No. Okay.
Well, I'm going to speak for Marvin and Water Resources and us, but we appreciate everything you do for us, and, you know, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your hard work.
Yes.
Best council we've ever had.
He says it every year.
There must be something to it.
So we have one more department, one more fund.
Good evening.
One more fund, electric fund.
Now we get to have some fun.
Big
so electric fund capital items are very front page of the vertical pages.
Yep.
And then you have a separate printout of all the departments for electric fund on the report, look like that. Projected revenues for fiscal 19 is $5.7 million. It's an increase of $118,000. Residential, commercial, general, all of the services for electric estimated and projected with the help of Booth and Associates. So he's taken into the consideration all of the new services, all of the commercial buildings that will be connected to the grid, and also he's projecting the average power cost per kilowatt, and apparently we are actually going lower for next fiscal year.
Yes,
so
our contract.
Yes, lower because of the long-term contract.
Your utility, the electric cost to the customers.
Yes, the electric cost to the customers will decrease. That's why you see the decreases on pretty much of all the revenue line items. Prior year surplus item of $233,000 is a carry forward for capital expenses that has not been completed in this fiscal year.
That's
we will be completing them in the next fiscal year.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Do you see that? Mm-hmm.
Electric administration, page one, going to page two, going into page three. Overall is a decrease by $132,000, which is approximately 9%. Big decrease there is the debt bonds going down due to refinancing them in 215. We're continuously saving on that. As well, some line items, I think, reduction in capital outlay, but Tim will cover the capital outlay accounts, and then if you have any changes, we can do that.
Okay. As far as administration, like Natalie said, we're looking at a almost 9% decrease overall, and some of the expenses in administration, back up here. I guess I'll just get that.
Page 2, Tim, you on page 2?
Yes, at the top of page 2, professional services, for example, that's $120,000. That's basically pretty much for Booth Associates, and I would thank Jill Barker, I would believe, in Washington, D.C., our consultant attorney. And then Booth Associates, they've been with us for a long time. They provide a lot of services on the electric side as far as, you know, rate case, dealing with the Public Service Commission, permits and things like that for the power plant, dealing with AMP as far as, you know, our purchase power contract and those type of things. And then Jill Barker is used, you know, for different dealings with the Public Service Commission. As you go down through there, for example, if you look at some of the things like vehicle maintenance, that type of thing, or a telephone, you see a little increase in the telephone service. And what we found out is in the prior year, we've used about $5,400, and we actually budgeted $2,800. So it turned out to be a little more than what we should have budgeted more, and
Tim,
we didn't.
Tim, we combine in the telephone expense.
Right.
All of your telephone will be under administration.
That's in all divisions?
Yeah,
also.
That's why you see the increase.
Okay.
We were breaking down by department, but then the bill got, we got one bill for electric, and then Shirley will sit down and break it down. It just takes extra time. We figured out electric telephone is electric telephone, so we put everything in one line item under administration.
Then also you'll see a increase in travel expenses and then also in employee training. And the reason for that is all three divisions are now under admin. Instead of them having funds in the other two accounts, it's just basically all moved under admin. And this year I wanted to provide more training to the employees, especially the power plant. The power plant is becoming more technical every day as far as relay systems, that type of thing.
Is that because of the newer equipment?
Yes. You know, the power plant was renovated in 1999 and 2000, and the relay system that was installed back then is nowhere near what it is today. Today it's almost like a computer. It's all automated. It does a lot more functions than it did back then. So the new upgrades as far as relaying and that type of thing, it takes more technical knowledge and that type of thing. So I want to start sending some of the employees for that type of training to learn how to program that equipment. So all that was moved under administration. Now as far as vehicle fuel, that's basically for my vehicle, and that's just something small. I used to live out in Pittsville. I now live in town or really close to town, and I don't use as much fuel. So that's why that went down. And then also under the admin, you'll see there some computer network hardware, computers, that type of thing that are being replaced, monitors, speaker bar. That was at Card's recommendation. That actually is my computer. And then also Jim, in his relay room there, there's a computer that we're having some issues with that needs either some software upgrade or needs to be replaced, basically. As you go on down through, there's not much to report. In the 5,600, most of that there is decreases, except in the contingency fund. I guess I'll let Natalie speak about that because that was actually a decrease of 67%.
Contingency fund is the difference between the revenue projected and total of expenses. So we used to call it a rainy day. So it varies off as it could go up and go down. So that's line item, basically balancing item for excessive revenues over expenses.
And where is it shown on which?
It's on page 3.
5789.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Yep. That's
right.
Account number
5789.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then
we like using somewhere. The numbers, Natalie. We can all count. We can still all count. We like using the numbers to buy a lot of.
Oh, okay.
This is, you know. Okay. You have to deal.
Get to that.
Some we try to stay up with tons, but that's one of them we just can't get
over.
I guess if you don't have any questions about admin, I guess we'll move down to the power plant, and I'll let Natalie speak about the salaries and that type of thing, and unemployment, vacation.
We added
page 3.
We'll let it.
see where that was brought up.
Yeah, it is. It's in power distribution. Never mind. So, Carl Fland. Overall, page 4, Carl Fland projected expense for fiscal 19 is less by $10,000. And some items is in capital that been decreased. Capital for power plant, we have two items. If you look at this report right here, Tim will tell us it's power plant engine number 2.
Yes. The two big expenses that you see there in the power plant engine number 2, that is a Mitsubishi engine that was installed in 1999. I had to have Bay Diesel in here in the past year to do some work on that engine 2 or 3 times. And while I had him here, I actually had him do a maintenance check on it, basically to go over the entire engine to see if anything needed to be done to it to make sure it didn't break down. Basically, they came back and said the top side of the engine, which is the fuel injectors, the cylinder heads, and that type of thing, needed to be overhauled, basically. And then also the front and rear seal on that engine, they both leak oil, which is not good to have oil leaking out of the engine when it's running.
Not good.
And basically, to do that job is going to be about $125,000 because $20,000 of that involves just removing the generator off the back of the engine, just to get it off the engine so you can replace the rear seal in it. They have to bring in this hydraulic lifting system, which is very expensive. It comes from Baltimore, and they charge us to pull that generator off the back of the engine. Then also on the number 4 engine, it has a control system, which is called the Wilbur Control D-Slick, and a 723 device. Those are actually obsolete. You cannot even get them anymore. Number 2 engine, we just finished upgrading those type of controls to the new EasyGen, what's called a 2301A device, which is the speed control. Basically, I'm doing the same thing with number 4 engine. And what this allows us to do is doing one engine at a time, it allows us to take the existing equipment out that's there, the D-Slick and the 723. That is also in number 1 engine and number 5 engine. So if something occurs with those devices, we actually have replacements that we can stick in there for the time being until the following year we can upgrade those controls. Those controls that are there now are normally rated for about 13 years. The plant was renovated in 1999, 2000, so right now the old control system is 17 years old. So you're 4 years past.
Now, based on the schedule that you're doing and continuing, how many years before all of the, what did we now have? We have 4 engines?
Be 2 more years.
2 more years? Okay.
After this year.
Okay.
Are all engines working?
Yes, except number 3.
Yeah, the bucket.
That's not working.
Yeah. If anybody ever recommends that we get another Mitsubishi, they are terminating themselves.
Yeah,
we have 2, right? Yeah. The one that's down and the one that we're fixing.
No, we got 3.
Oh, 3 Mitsubishi?
Yeah, 2 of them are working and 1 has been down for, number 3 has been out, I don't know, probably 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. 10 years. It was a bucket of bolts when I was first on.
What's the cost to fix something or replace something?
To replace
like
that? I think it's close to probably $1 million.
Wow.
Because they actually have to take the roof off the building.
It was the best of intentions. Yeah. Yep. They just unfortunately got a what do you call the building? Something that just never was going to work.
Yes, I've got several pricing to replace that engine by Caterpillar, Bay Diesel, for example, and it's very expensive to do it. And I was telling Laura, as far as replacing that engine, I'm not sure that's the place to put it because all the engines are on one circuit, and if you lose that one circuit, you have no capacity of the power plant at all. Yeah. So we actually had talked about building one somewhere else at some point. So.
Yeah. And again, that's going to be a constant thing to kind of evolve with changing needs for the community and also the way the industry works.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right.
Just to add on the capacity of saving and remind, we don't have that luxury of setting aside a reserve for future capital investment because of strong regulations by the Public Service Commission. We are not allowed to have money set aside for capital improvements.
Can you imagine where you're prohibited from saving money to save people money, customer
so
money?
So if we ever decide
it's archaic thinking, I just want to say it because it is, and there's no reason to. You can't say it, but I can. And someday they're going to have to catch up in reality. But you know, we're not working for stockholders. We're working
exactly.
For customers.
I think that's 99% of the problem is they treat all the municipal utilities as if they're investor owned, and we're not. And
that's correct.
It's they don't have a different way of addressing it, and they really need to. Yeah.
So I guess at this point we are, because there's so few of the municipal electric utilities in Maryland, we're at least starting to shout out, wait a minute. I don't know how long it'll take, but at some point for us to be able to do all the things we need to adapt to changing technologies, increasing our capacity, and also our reliability, we're going to have to be able to set aside money rather than have to always borrow.
So that's been discussed multiple times, and there's several suggestions, but it's all in works. I think going forward, Laura and I discussed, we will have to look into either doing some study case and go forward to actually Court of Appeal and ask them to change something, or just what's been advised is borrowing money from general fund and then letting the general fund receive it slowly back, which is not really a visible picture because we have so much on general fund, streets and personnel.
But we can try to put it this way. I think we all recognize that it's one of those things that we should have an obligation to try to fix as best we can and never accept defeat. You know, it might be easier than we anticipate, but I do think it's much higher in our priorities than it was, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago.
Absolutely.
Good. No, thank you.
Should we move on to distribution?
On the PowerPoint, I just want to point out two more items. The very bottom on page 4, and they're very big items. It's the purchase power and RPS purchase power fees. They're both have a decrease, and that's why we have a decrease in revenue. So we're buying for less, we're selling for less. Simply as that, I shouldn't say we're selling, we're recouping the cost of a purchase. So it's a basically non-profit transaction.
And the reason we can know about what that is pretty close to the dollar is because when was that contract awarded?
I think we did it in 17 for the 18 through 20 period. Or it might have been 16.
It's just worth noting
you
somewhere
ahead,
on the process that
right.
we need to let people know.
Yeah, we planned ahead, and AMP saw that the market was changing, and we took advantage of the opportunity. So.
And that's something, too, just to keep in mind. And it was done in the way it used to be done, because that was the accepted way, but we don't wait until the last minute to sign a new contract. When the market is basically between Booth Associates and AMP, American Municipal Power, when they recognize a unique opportunity, you can basically buy the contract for the future, and they're held to the price regardless of what happens.
And just to praise the services of Boston Associates, I'm not sure what we would ever do, but Steve Miller is an outstanding professional human being. I can record any question that I am not actually capable of answering to Public Service Commission, and he's such a resource. He searches through our invoices, finds little things that need to be corrected, and reports right back.
Great.
It's a great communication partnership between the town and
this is, I know it reduces the revenue, but it's great news to know that the purchase power is going down.
Yes, absolutely. If there are no questions on the power plant, we can move to power distribution. In power distribution, we do have an increase in salaries, and I'll let Tim take over here.
Basically, basically what I'm looking for is to add a position. It's more of a technical position, but it's also like a hybrid. It's a lineman's position, substation technician, relay technician. The reason why is right now we have a total of 8 employees. Out of those 8 employees, 4 of them are at the point they could actually retire today.
And four of the 9?
That's 4 of the 8.
Of the 8, okay.
And then if
50%.
Yeah, then if you include me, that's 5 out of 8.
You're not going to retire.
But I'm not going anywhere. So.
You just then, didn't tell, right?
Yeah. But anyway, what I'm trying to do here is basically bring a person on board to basically shadow one of the individuals that work for us now that has the technical knowledge of, especially in relaying, the substation and the power plant or in the relay system at our shop are becoming so sophisticated that's like a 90% of your time job, trying to maintain the relay system, programming them, that type of thing. A good example is we just replaced a relay on number 2 engine with the EasyGen and the 2301A. Well, to replace that, just the programming alone was about $30,000, just to have somebody with the technical knowledge to do the programming. And what I'm trying to do here is find somebody that has that type of experience in-house where maybe we can cut down on the amount of money that we're spending on contractors for that expertise and have somebody in-house that can actually do that. So what I'm doing here is trying to have a position where they can be with a person that knows some of that knowledge and, you know, stay with, like, contractors that come in to do it and learn from them.
Hang on, Tim.
In other words, they can shadow them and learn how to do that type of technical expertise, and then at some point, they could take over some of those duties, and we don't have to spend so much money on programming of relays and that type of thing. And also, we could use the extra help in the field as far as alignment at times, and then also in the substation, too.
So you said they would be a lineman, a relay technician, and what was the third?
They'd be a lineman, they would be a substation technician, and then also a relay specialist. Both at the power plant and our substation at Savage. We're on Schoolfield Street.
So like a utility player in baseball terms.
So you're pretty much.
Building a succession planner here for the future, so per
yes,
se,
basically.
By acquiring the personnel and transferring the knowledge of 50% knowledge that he has and could basically take a break and...
Sort of.
To cover the expense, we've gone through the regular operating expense accounts, and we've decreased contracted services and some maintenance expenses. So I do see that the department and the fund overall can carry this position in general.
And hopefully it'll reduce your contracted expenses.
We did.
Yes.
A good deal of it.
Might cover the salary at least significantly.
Yes.
The other thing to add to that, the intent behind this, again, is not to add a headcount. Yes, it will, but the reality is you've all seen the projected who could retire, and Tim's indicated 5 out of 8. So the idea is to get that person in, get them shadowed, get them trained, and hopefully we can do that before one of the 4 retire. And with Tim and I, good idea who the one will be. So that's what we're asking, just to get the person.
But this is going to be this about succession transition.
Yes.
It's going to be something we'll be dealing with for probably the next 4 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And
yes.
I think it's better to, again, plan. We want these people to retire, not for them to leave, so they can, you know, earn the retirement that they worked so hard for.
Tim and I spent considerable amount of time
this position is actually going to be used in a couple of different ways, so it creates
that's correct.
That sort of catch basin or what, okay. You know, that safety net, rather, for anybody who retires. Mm-hmm. It gives us the ability to be able to adapt regardless of who of those four key people retire.
Is this a difficult skill set to find?
It could be. There's people out there, but I do know there's individuals that have that expertise in all three categories, being a lineman, substation, and relay. Whether we can find one or not, that's something we'll have to try. I guess, you know, my big concern is a lineman, for example, to become a first-class lineman is a 4 to 5 year process. So, you know, I'm really concerned if someone, any one of them, were to leave out, to retire in the next year, it could be 3 or 4 years before you have somebody that's up to that speed. Wow. You know, so I'm trying to plan ahead, get them in here, and they, you know, they can stay with them 2 or 3 years, and then we'll see where it goes.
Very nice. Great job looking ahead, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Dean, did you have something?
No.
Other big items on the power distribution department. 233 of it is a carry forward. A bucket truck we budgeted for fiscal 18, we have not purchased. So 225,000 we're going to carry forward to fiscal 19 for a new bucket truck to replace 1996 Ford F-800, number 3. I'm reading what Tim was writing. The carry forward of $8,000 is for pole barn expansion. And I recollect from prior year we discussed, because all of Tim's equipment are outdoor and need a roof overhead. The new items I will let Tim describe. Replacement for 1996 Ford.
Yep.
Start from here, 70,000.
Yes. You'll see a 70,000 in the budget there for replacing E22. That is the dump truck that we use for tree trimming. Plus, we also use it to haul material out to the job sites, gravel and stuff like that. That truck is a 1999, and the doors are actually falling off of it. And the brakes went out on it not too long ago. So it's at the point that it should be replaced.
Past the time.
Yep. And what we're looking at is we want to get a dump truck, but it will also have removable sides on it, because when you're using it for chipping operations, you got to have higher walls on it so the chips stay in the bed of it versus over top of it. But it will be something we can remove if need be, if we have to use it for, you know, hauling stuff and things like that.
And with the, I'm not sure, it obviously didn't apply to all the equipment, but I know by necessity, because anybody was trying to get off on the cheap, but by necessity, many of our pieces of equipment that are phasing out were actually used when they were bought. I don't know if that applies to this truck, but I know... Overall, that used to be a common practice because we just couldn't afford to
keep
back and for a couple decades or more, maybe several decades, couldn't afford to buy new equipment.
That's
so
right.
I'm glad that at least we're transitioning from.
Yes, in fact, after this vehicle is replaced here, basically all the large vehicles are pretty well up to date within, you know, 5-6 years of each other. The only thing left after that, the oldest truck in the fleet after that would be my town vehicle. Okay. So, you know, the only thing left is pickup trucks at that point. So.
Tell me this. When we replace a vehicle, the replacement, the vehicle that is being replaced, it is disposed of. It's not kept.
Normally we do, which this would be. It would be out of here, gone. Now, there is one truck, the utility bed truck, that we replaced, which was last year, I believe, Jeff. We kept the old truck around for a purpose. We have seasonal help that helps us, and they do painting. They paint streetlight poles, transformers. And if you saw that utility bed truck and the paint that's all over the old one, you would know why we kept it around.
They need to mess up the new truck.
That's what it's used for.
But...
So there are three options to dispose.
Is it our policy
in all departments, when vehicles are replaced, we dispose of the one that is being replaced?
Normally. We know it's either scrapped in the metal scrapyard, and we receive a little sum of money from the place where it is scrapped it for the metal. Either it's sold on the .gov for nominal rates, so then we apply it back to the fund. If the vehicle in a little bit of better condition, it could be traded in. We've done it for, I think, once or twice for the larger equipment. Or it kept in the department, just like Tim said, till it completely dies, and we use it for very, very minimum and low labor intense jobs.
I just don't want to have us keep those vehicles in inventory.
No, sir.
And still have that also.
There's a couple, and during the time that I've been employed with the town of Berlin, pickups in particular, when they the truck that Tim alluded to, doors falling off, all this, what we've done with them, if they're salvageable, Bob gives them a thumbs up, we'll take them out to the spray site, and they're used, I want to call it cross country, not for a road vehicle at all. They're not even tagged, let's just put it that way. So they're out there for hauling, if they're salvageable at all.
I saw some leaving the town, what, in the last month on a flatbed. Some of the
our vehicles?
One or two, but like, I don't know. It looked like Berlin anyway.
I am not aware we've disposed of any vehicles currently.
call the chief.
Put him on the case.
To Freightliner, you know
As far as capital, the census handheld readers, those are to replace the existing telzons that we use now. Those telzons are, I don't know, probably 25, 30 years old, I guess, maybe older. The only place you can buy one right now is on eBay. And we have issues with them all the time. One of them's already went down. So we were looking at going to census handhelds. Those are the same device that water and sewer uses, water department to read their meter. So basically if one of theirs went down, they could use one of ours and vice versa, that type of thing, if they're programmed with the information in them. A telzon can also hold six routes in it. A census can hold six routes. And basically our telzons only hold one route, so we have six of them total. You could actually take one census, put all six books into it, and if one of the other census went down, you could read that with that existing census if that one drops out. That's the reason we're looking for a total of three of them on that.
Does this machine talk to any of our other stuff, like our billing or anything like that?
It's all integrated into the billing system through Tyler.
It's a manual process.
As far as the census, now the water department reads with what's called a wand. They just walk up to it and they read it. On the electric side of the census, we would actually have to push the numbers in the buttons to do it. It doesn't have that capability.
Do they make a machine that would talk with our system? That's the digital meter, right?
That's the digital meters that will transmit everything. Other than that, we will have to manually input the routes, the numbers of meters to be read, and actually physically transport that out and then put in the system, either with the sensors or telzones.
A year ago or so, when we were discussing this at the regular meeting, I think Tim told us, right now the technology just isn't copacetic with our system, their system, that water does water metering well, electric does something else, but something that can integrate both with even a modern computer.
That's correct. We did run across one vendor that was pretty close to getting to that point, but they haven't quite got there yet.
They did not have an online customer portal.
Right.
And from our conversations with the council, it's been my understanding that you really want a robust customer portal provides that kind of immediate information to folks so they can manage their consumption.
Is it a fair judgment to say this is going to happen, and when the technology meets the needs that will serve our customers for generations or more, you know, with upgrade equipment, there's no need to do it and do it part of the way and then have to go do it again.
Agreed.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, hopefully, with the way everything's changing, I would hope maybe within 5 years or so, this would be something we can accomplish.
And our big hurdle is a dashboard, in essence, for the customer?
Customer portal.
A customer portal.
The only way, and it's just from talking to other municipalities, if we go with water, different vendor for net metering, and then we go for electric with different vendor, and they will be all combined together and merge and marry in Tyler. So that's, for right now, is the best option. It's still going to give us a huge advantage, but we can look into it.
Well, and then there's the cost of the actual process as well, and rolling that out into the electric fund that's kind of tight. And then, again, we talked about it earlier, you can't bank money for capital investment, so then it's just a matter of figuring some of that stuff out. And we haven't really found a vendor that, in my opinion, is going to meet all the needs of the town, and so it hasn't been worth taking the extra step to figure out the financing in detail.
Basically, you'll keep us posted.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I think, again, it's one of those things I think it's inevitable. It's just not right here.
It's just not here right now.
Okay. The next item on there is the ice machine. We originally bought the ice machine we have now. I think it was, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. We are on the end of the line at Schoolfield Street. Basically, that's where dead ends, right past our shop. The water in that area is really hard, as far as, I guess, hard on the pipes and that type of thing, for example. We've had to have the original ice machine worked on twice, and the labor alone was close to $4,000 just to have the one worked on that we have now. And the last time they were there to work on it, they mentioned you better start looking for a new machine because basically the pipes that are inside where the motor is and that type of thing, you can tell they're deteriorating.
Or the corroding, basically.
Corroding and things like that. And it seems to be breaking down every year now. And then they also, we actually have a filter system on it right now that's on the existing one, but he mentioned to us about upgrading that to a more robust system, more sophisticated, and would do a better job of cleaning the water that feeds to the ice machine. So that's why we were looking at replacing that.
And what do you use the ice machine for?
The ice machine is used for all departments, basically all events, town hall. We provide ice during all the events downtown for the chambers and the visitor center, that type of thing.
And what about during the summer for the folks that work in the field?
They're always getting ice. That provides ice for the coolers, for the trucks, and everybody within the town departments, they use that ice machine for ice.
And so what did the town do before the ice machine that we purchased?
Bought the ice. We actually got it from the ice company over here off of Washington Street. That's where we used to get our ice from.
Would it be beneficial to filter the water?
Filter it? That's what we do now.
It is filtered.
Yeah, it's filtered right now.
They would need to upgrade the filtering. Yeah. Oh, make it more robust.
It has two industrial filters on it now, but the guy that was there working on it from General Refrigeration, he recommended a different filtering system that is more enhanced to help keep the water clean.
This might need to be a shared expense since it's being used everywhere.
Yeah, we could do that.
Sure.
Or let the company take all the brunt.
And buy everybody.
It's not a large amount, 10,000. We can spread it.
It could be more work combining. Good thinking.
Cool. As far as underground electric services, that's the same as it is every year, about 10 of them on average. Now, when there's big developments that come in, that type of thing, we're actually reimbursed by the developer as far as the installation of the electric system. A good example is Intrepid Lane, Schooner Lane, where they extended the townhouses that Pulte is building right now. We're actually reimbursed, you know, for labor and that type of thing. The new streetlights that are going in, they're being paid by Pulte for the installation of that. So we do get those funds back to us. Now, as far as individual residential services, the average service is $1,500 to $1,800, something like that. It could be a little more depending on the distance. We actually are reimbursed by whoever's building that home, so we get that back to us. Transclosure replacement, that's an ongoing process. That was actually in the 10-year plan with Booth Associates when they put it together. We still have some of those in town. Gold Creek is one of them. And then there's another one over off Franklin Avenue. Basically, that is a device. It's got three overhead transformers in it. We take it out and we replace it with a pad-mounted transformer. That's what that $30,000 for. And then the electric pole replacement, that's normal, about 10 poles a year. That's due to deterioration, rotting, that type of thing.
Approximately. How many utility poles do you have in town?
In town right now?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
That's your homework for tonight.
I don't know. Just go out tomorrow and count them off.
Okay.
You can walk. You don't even
have to. I'm going to take a wild guess. I would probably say at least 300 or 400, I'd say.
Ten a year is not bad for that many poles.
No, it's not. You know as well as I do, in this area, the ground stays really wet. We're not far above, you know, the water table, and when it's that damp, it just works on the base of those poles, and eats away at them. So every year we have 10 or 15 that we have to replace on that.
That concludes the capital outlay for power distribution.
Is it usually the bases that go?
Normally, yeah. Now, we did have an issue on the top of the poles due to birds sitting on top of them, and basically they peck away at it. We find the top of the pole rotten. About, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I started a program to where any new poles that go in the ground, there's a cap that goes on top of it, like you would see on a pier.
Oh, yeah.
And that prevents the birds from eating away at the top of the pole, and plus the moisture and stuff getting into it. So that's helped a lot as far as that issue.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So overall, the power distribution is $1.3 million, and $233,000 of it is carried forward from fiscal 18 to fiscal 19. The remainder are pretty much in within the lines. Tim always trying to keep the same. We went up on a couple of items for like safety supplies and general supplies, just because he requires a lot more.
Yeah, the safety supplies, especially all our clothes is FR treated, fire retardant. It's required by OSHA. Anybody that works in the electric utility field, if it's 50 volts or more. You know, you can't say that about the private industry, but in the electric utility field, we're required to wear fire-retardant clothing just like firemen do. The shirts alone are about $70 a piece for them, so they're very expensive. That's where most of that safety supply
is. Better safe than sorry.
It's important.
Yeah. Now, these aren't worn every day?
Every day.
The
uniforms that you see our crews wearing, those are fire-retardant uniforms.
Is there any way we can get brighter color shirts?
We actually are changing colors right now. When you say brighter color,
pink.
No. I mean,
orange.
I can't see color well, but I know that like when the staff are out on the side of the road, they don't have anything that's reflective or bright that people can see.
Well, if my guys are in the road, they're supposed to be wearing a safety vest.
Yeah. Okay.
That's part of the requirement. As far as our FR clothing, I was actually looking at going to gray uniform shirts. In a lot of the utility field, especially the electric, you see them wearing gray shirts most of the time. Some of our shirts right now are, 6, 7 years old, and they're starting to fall apart and deteriorate. So So that's why I wanted to have this money in there to upgrade to new shirts, basically, and I was thinking about going to the gray color.
Did they actually take them home and wash them yourself?
They do, yes. You cannot use softener in them because softener actually deteriorates the chemical that's in it. There's a certain way that you have to wash them, and you dry them and that type of thing. So they last longer.
And the trucks that we have in the power distribution, they're going to be reflective on the back, right?
The new one, the new bucket truck, I've actually talked about that, especially on the rear of the truck. And then
the outriggers.
And the outriggers, too. Actually, over the years that I've been in the utility field, we did have a truck back in Virginia where I was at that was actually hit by a cement truck. It caught the rigger on the side of the bucket when it was down, and it hurt the guy pretty bad in the bucket. So your point to the reflective tape and that type of thing, that does help a lot. Yes.
Maybe because it's just getting late, but what is the bottom line for all of the different departments in the electric utility in terms of total?
So I was just going to go to next it, and I'm rounding to millions, so.
Rounding to millions.
Yeah.
It's
a big budget.
Big budget.
It's a big budget. So in comparison, electric department is 5.7 versus 5.6 as of right now. So overall, it's only about 100,000 increase going forward. Water department at 1.1 in comparison with 1.2 as of right now, so it's 100,000 decrease. Sewer projected to be 2.6 in comparison with 3 million as of right now, so it's 400,000 decrease.
Could you send us an email with that summary?
Sure. I just took round numbers for
that's
each
fine.
Department, and I will send this. But I would hold on to it. I will send you those numbers as they get more
precise
with insurance and everything, and you will get the overall picture.
Because we're still refining.
Yes,
yeah.
we're still working. Like we move in the ice machine. I would like to allocate all office supplies to customer service. So there are little.
Yeah.
Many changes.
But those kind of summaries are very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sit back and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
It's easier kind of just to recall that.
Yeah.
Then you know, if you have any details, look at this, and if you can't figure it out, then I call you. You know, or any of the rest of us, you know. But, you know, it helps. It really does. So I appreciate it. No? Does anybody have any questions for Tim or Natalie?
I don't have anything for electric, but I do have one thing for general fund.
Sure.
We talked about a wellness program when Chris was here. Do we have a budgeted number for that, or do we need a motion for anything, or can we put in a number? What's the process?
I've got a pretty good idea, but I've not discussed it with you yet.
Well, is that something, I guess, before we get through the budget process
in
a public meeting or whatever?
Yeah,
that's fine. You know, we don't have to have a work session for
volunteering. No, I just didn't know the process. I'm learning.
Well, this is a job where you're always doing. Every time you think you know what you're doing, oh God.
So we can look forward to seeing that.
That's good, and it's been really helpful. Though I know it's been a long evening, but it's really helpful to get down in the nitty gritty because you know we're trying to help the town, but also represent the people and make sure that the money's spent wisely. And I really believe. Allow for some bumps in the night, but I think overall, I think all of you are fortunate that we're making progress in all of our utilities compared to what situation they were in at the turn of the century, which again, that was when a lot of money was invested in electric utility. And I think that it appears to me that everything is steadily but constantly improving. That's not my chance, and we appreciate all the thought that goes into this before you actually spend the money.
Yeah, I think that there's the work that we do here is a fraction of the work that you guys do getting it prepared. So,
we'll not trade spots anytime.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the work you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Every department.
Are we all squared away?
I think so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll send a reminder for the next updated.
We do have a revised budget schedule. It doesn't really affect you guys much. It's more our advertising process.
That's fine. You can just let us know whatever we need.
I will. Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Are we?
Yes.
We got executive.
Let's go get this over so I can go home.
Yes, she did. She had it on the side of the road.
No, what?
Yeah, but then it went to the hospital by where her husband delivered it.
Will we do it like that?
Yes.
Everything healthy?
Yeah, she said everything is good. Yes, thank you.
All of them?
Yep, they all.
Okay.
Do we have all the opposite of what they are. No, we sent flowers. And then we, just Josh. Leave him in the dark.
Judge, we got that question in the dark. That would be kind of contrary to your mission.